You can if you want.
I want to stand with you on the mountain.
Okay, stop singing.
That was really good.
That was really good.
That was really good. What's another song that I could sing? It's maybe like a higher pitch or like a lower pitch.
Hey everyone, welcome to Catholic Bites. This is Father Conrad. I'm here with Father Alec Scott. And today, Father Alec, we are going to talk about the various lists of the sacraments. And everyone's thinking, well, there's seven sacraments. Didn't they just come up with the list of seven sacraments? But that's not the case.
So many interesting lists of sacraments to talk about. It's one of my, I love the sacraments. Talk about the sacraments all the time. If you are a Catholic Bites listener from way back, you might remember my original Catholic Bites on the sacraments. It's such an interesting topic because we think of just the seven sacraments as if, you know, you open the Bible and it falls out that it's clearly there's seven. Some are like super clear, right? Like baptism, like Eucharist,
yeah.
But like some of the other ones you might say, where is confirmation? Why is marriage a sacrament? Why is whatever else?
And then there are other things that look like sacraments that people have thought were sacraments at various times, but then the church is like, maybe not, like the crowning of kings
crowning
and stuff
of kings,
like that.
Which at least makes sense. There's some lists that are just insane from the Middle Ages.
Okay, so let's talk about some of those medieval lists of sacraments.
Let's do it.
Who's there first? We're going to talk about Hugh of St. Victor, right?
Hugh of St. Victor had a reasonable number, relatively. He had 10 sacraments.
But the Eucharist was not a sacrament.
Eucharist was not one of them. So this is where we're kind of treading water, where you're saying, like, what were they thinking? Like, what was the purpose of these lists? They didn't even really have a great sense of what a sacrament was.
No, yeah, it was still kind of like in their mind. They were trying to figure out exactly what a sacrament was and then discern, like, what had Jesus created to be a sacrament. So what Hugh of St. Victor said, the Eucharist was, like, above a sacrament,
yeah,
right?
So
it wasn't like
fair,
he thought, like, no Eucharist, thank
yeah.
you, no.
So to be fair, and this is actually important because we don't want anyone ever thinking there was ever a time in the church where a saint didn't think the Eucharist was important. He definitely thought it was important. He thought it was too important to be
a sacrament.
And so he was using, basically he was using like a Middle Ages or medieval thinkers had a real penchant for wanting to match things up in beautiful, like coherent lists.
Yeah, like St. Thomas Aquinas has seven of this and seven of that and seven of this and seven of that. And just
and
like, oh, they all correspond.
Yeah, and some of those things are we see and are fascinating and are interesting. But he had, I'm trying to remember his full list. He had things like the religious profession he considered a sacrament.
Yeah, well, he had like four different religious professions, right? Because there just happened to be four different types of religious people. So they're like canons, hermits, brothers, and sisters.
Yeah, so all those were sacraments. You say, how are those all sacraments? And then like, you know, what does that mean? What does that signify? And it was, he was going with the directions directions in his church?
Well, yeah, no, so in the church, there were 10 lamps that they lit around the altar when they dedicated the church. And so if the altar is like the Eucharist, the sacraments are like the 10 lamps that go around it. And so he had the normal ones besides the Eucharist, and then he also had the crowning of kings,
yep.
And then those four religious consecrations,
yep.
Which, to be fair, they kind of look like sacraments.
Watch, our sacraments professor would love this piece of information, but watch Elizabeth II's coronation and tell me if it doesn't look like a sacrament. It
yeah,
does,
there's
absolutely
chrism,
does.
There's chrism, there's laying
Anglican.
On of hands, there's all this other stuff, and
yeah.
It's like, that looks pretty darn sacramental.
It does. So he had his reason, but I mean, you can see like, in a certain sense, the question wasn't that important, how many sacraments there were, or wasn't that well defined, because he was trying to make harmony with this church architecture and things like that, which isn't that uncommon, but it was kind of bizarro.
So then, speaking of bizarro, let's talk about St. Peter
Our
Damian.
Our favorite bizarro saint.
Anytime someone quotes something crazy from a church father, it's usually St. Peter
it's
Damian,
usually
right?
Peter Damian. Peter Damian had a list of sacraments that's so long that I can't even remember. It was like 50, maybe
yeah.
not quite.
It was pretty close.
50. And some of them, you're like, okay, he had the most of the ones that we consider sacraments.
Yeah.
And then he had some that you're like, oh, I get it. Like, I don't know, Coronation of Kings, I assume, was in there.
Yeah, yeah.
And like, certain pilgrimage aspects.
Yeah,
or
there was like the blessing of wax lambs
yeah,
on St. Agnes Day. But okay, so let's, what does this process tell us about the sacraments? The sacrament is an outward sign of an inward grace. And so through this, you know, pious reception of a wax lamb, you might experience an inward grace.
Exactly right,
and
yeah.
Now, like, they're looking at that, and they're looking at these outward symbols of inward grace, and they're thinking, oh, well, you know, this conveys, sure. You know, he thought, like, the end of the world was a sacrament, too, and, like, world, a bunch of other stuff.
Wasn't the future one of his sacraments or something?
There was
like
all sorts of crazy stuff.
So Peter Damian had this ridiculous list. But no, you're right. So what they were trying to do is they had this sense a sacrament communicates grace. And they'd say something like, on St. Agnes Day, you'd get your blessed lamb and you'd experience grace. You might experience, like, for us today, that's a little bit out there, but maybe, like, if you ever go to St. Blaise Day and have your throat blessed, you might think that's kind of like an outward thing that's communicating a grace. And you'd be right. Or, like, even simpler, if you pray your rosary, right? You might think your rosary, and we call that a sacramental. It has this exalted stature.
Well, and that's, I think, what they're getting confused, right? Like, so we have a distinction in our church today between sacraments, which are these things instituted by Christ, which convey grace through the actual participation in the sacrament, and the sacramental, which is something instituted by the church, which inspires devotion within us and prompts us to a greater love of Jesus, but isn't necessarily the same thing as a sacrament.
Exactly right. It's like a couple of parallels would be like reading a great book on the life of a saint might inflame you with love for the saint in the church, but it's not the same thing as reading the Word of God. It's not the same thing as reading the Scriptures.
That's a good parallel.
It's not the same encounter. Same thing with, like, if you want to talk the Eucharist, like seeing a beautiful painting of Christ by one of the masters might cause you to be full of zeal and love for God, but it's not the same thing as having the Eucharist, of having the actual presence of God. So there's there's this difference between something simply allowing you to experience zeal, or sort of like this emotional or psychological stirring up of God's love within you, versus something, or even like an efficacious prayer, right? Something that calls down God's grace, versus something like a sacrament, which communicates grace.
Yeah, it's in the very symbol, in the very activity that's going on, in the pouring of the water or the anointing with oil, the grace is being conveyed through that channel. It's not like God saying, oh, he did that thing, maybe I'll give him some grace, but it's through that thing the grace is being conveyed, and that's what matters the most, right?
Absolutely, yeah. So it's this really great gift to the church, and this is what makes them so amazing. Is, you know, if you have a rosary in your pocket and never pray it, it's not doing you any good. You know, it might be a reminder of God's presence, but not doing you any good. You have to have this right disposition towards all of these things. And you have to have the right disposition when you receive a sacrament too. But the amazing thing about the sacraments is whether or not you feel zealous or whether or not you feel like you're on fire with the love of the Spirit, if you believe what the church believes, if you believe that sacraments are what we say they are, that they're real and that they're communicating grace, you will always receive grace when you receive a sacrament. It's an amazing thing. Like, you will always, always, always receive the grace of God paired up with that visible sign, mm-hmm. right? The visible sign that will allow us to be built up in our spiritual life, even if you feel no emotion, right? Even if you feel no zeal at that moment. You're still being strengthened by God through those sacraments.
Because God wants us to experience grace, not necessarily when we feel it, but just at all times. The sacraments are this medicine. So we have this the crazy list of sacraments. I think it's really just fascinating how the church actually came to the decision. Okay, so the blessing of canons and the wax lamps are not sacraments, and marriage and baptism are.
Sure.
Like, how did we get to that point?
So I think the most important thing is just the narrowing of the definition of sacrament. I mean, that's basically like they looked at these things and they said, you know, we're not being clear enough as to what a sacrament is. And so they come up with three criteria that are still super important that every Catholic should know. And sadly, I think a lot of times we don't all know it anymore. But the sacraments have to meet three criteria. They have to be a visible sign. Mm-hmm. So all those things pretty much meet that. Maybe not the future or whatever, but like most of those things. A visible sign, they have to really communicate grace. And this is a big departure, right? That they really communicate grace. Mm-hmm. So as I said, through their practice, through their reception, you know you're getting grace. And then the third thing is they have to be instituted by Christ.
So Christ, while he was here on earth, started these sacraments or promoted these sacraments or said, this is a sacrament.
Exactly.
And then this was decided. I mean, it was the fascinating thing for me is that it was kind of a period of discovery where, like, Jesus did these things and we had to kind of like figure out, okay, is this one of the things that Jesus did or was this? And so it wasn't until a church council that we finally said, okay, these are the seven sacraments.
Yeah, and right? It's going to be for people, if you just take this bit in isolation, it's going to sound kind of scandalous, but it was the 13th century, right? So mm-hmm. the 13th century that we said for sure these are the seven sacraments. At 1215 at the Fourth Lateran Council was when we said for sure there are seven sacraments. But the thinking behind them was always and continues, this is how all church decisions are made when we're discerning with the Holy Spirit, what has been the practice of the church?
Exactly.
And where can we find these things in Scripture, right?
Yeah.
And so we could do whole classes on all of them. You know, most of them, like I said, some are super obvious. Baptism is really obvious. Jesus tells us how to do it, and he tells us we have to do it. Eucharist, same thing. Confirmation, marriage, a little bit less clear.
Yet we see that in the Acts of the Apostles. It's clearly like part of the early church.
Sure, yeah. Absolutely. And that Christ desired for us to receive a sacrament that emboldened the Holy Spirit within us is very clear from Pentecost, mm-hmm. for mm-hmm. instance. The oil and things like that is the church's discernment over time. And the best way for this to be visibly expressed. And it was decided that chrism oil, connecting us to the bishop, connecting us to the Holy Spirit. You know, it's a cool thing to watch the bishop breathe on the chrism at the chrism mass, because that is a symbol of the Spirit that is going to be communicated sacramentally through the use of that chrism.
It's pretty neat. So Fourth Lateran Council, 1215, we put to rest and we don't have any crazy list of sacraments. They realized Jesus never anointed a king and there were no like
he didn't have
hermits.
Government structure.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like the hermetical life came later.
But I think the really fascinating conclusion that we can draw from this is this relationship between the church and the sacraments, that the sacraments flow from the church and the church is the first sacrament.
Precisely.
We can talk about this in another episode, but the sacraments are part of the church, and it's the church that discerns. Okay, it's not like some sort of magic rite or something like that, but a communication of grace through the church, that the church has the power to discern with and figure out how is it that Jesus wanted to communicate this grace.
Exactly right. And so you have the church through this long process of discernment, specifically trying to say, you know, where is, what did Christ intend for us to have, and where are these particular graces that we need in our life to be found? And that's, you know, that's how every decision is made, and the church is this kind of proto-sacrament, to use, which is kind of a more 20th century sort of understanding of the church, but it does have this reality where there's this visible exterior that's really communicating grace through the sacraments, through all of these things. So it is this incredible, you know, it's this incredible relationship between Scripture and tradition and the Holy Spirit and everything. It all is based on the Holy Spirit giving the church this power to be able to discern and clearly understand what the fullness of how we're to practice the faith is.
Awesome. Well, thankfully we don't have 50 sacraments, so that would have gotten tedious in seminary. Our classes would have lasted a long time. Thank you, Father Alec. Thanks for joining us on Catholic Bites.
Always a pleasure.
If you want to learn more about the Catholic faith, if you want more episodes of Catholic Bites, you can check us out on our website, catholicbitespodcast.com, or you can find us on Apple Podcasts. Thank you, and we'll see you all next time. God bless.